Chapter 14. Without a second thought, I activated my swiftness and sprinted in front of the would-be assassin, as I formed a fiery shield on my arm. The dagger hit the flaming surface and sent shockwaves back through the penguin demi-human's arm. He stumbled backward in surprise, and I took advantage with a stunning blow to his face. I heard the crack of a broken nose as my shield connected with his beak, and blood gushed from his nostrils as he took another step back and fell on his ass with a grunt. The dagger skittered away on the snow, and I snarled when I realized its shape was incredibly similar to that of an icicle. Then I pounced on the demi-human and pinned his arms and legs down as I lowered my face to his.
"What the fuck do you think you're doing?" I growled.
"Ending this madness," he yelled
as he struggled fruitlessly to get out from under my grasp.
"No one wants to do what is necessary."
"And you thought assassinating the queen was necessary?"
I said in a voice just loud enough for the royals to hear.
"She wasn't going to do what Narsglo needs,"
the penguin squawked with a hateful glare past me.
"You should have executed Katahi when you said you would. His kind has no place in Odrain."
"His kind?"
Isi repeated, as she stalked over and loomed over us.
"What kind might that be?"
"Magical," he hissed. "Your dragon friend here was next."
"You couldn't have touched me," I laughed.
"I have to agree,"
the queen said, and narrowed her eyes on the penguin.
"Why do you hate anyone with magic?"
"Because magic destroys everything it touches,"
the demi-human sneered.
"The law was clear. At least it was until you decided to join in on the madness this dragon has brought to our home."
"No, it doesn't," I argued, and pressed his shoulders further into the snow. "Is that why you killed Ubira?"
"He was no better than the mage," he said with a huff. "And obviously his magic didn't even protect us from the evil creatures who nearly melted our entire city."
"You killed Ubira?"
Isi covered her mouth in shock.
"Yeah, this looks like it made the wounds we saw,"
Ravi said, as she picked up the dagger and examined it.
"See? It's sharp from the tip to the hilt, and thicker here."
"It's made to drain power,"
the penguin declared before I shoved his head back against the snow.
"It's been passed down in my family for generations. Now no more shamans can try to use magic in Narsglo."
"Joke's on you, dumbass," I chuckled. "The spirits already chose a new shaman, and she's already started her training. Your little knife didn't do a fucking thing."
"What?"
he screeched and began to struggle against me again.
"No! That's not possible!"
"I don't even know if a mortal weapon could prevent the transfer of power,"
Aliona said as she pursed her lips.
"It sounds like a fairy tale you tell your children about the scary magical people."
"So you not only tried to assassinate the queen, you killed the shaman for nothing," I declared and turned toward Isi. "What's the punishment for murder?"
"The punishment is death,"
the queen announced as she looked at the audience. It seemed like every citizen in Narsglo was on the edge of their seats as they waited to see what would happen. Not a single one begged for the penguin demi-human's life, and it was obvious he wasn't going to get the same courtesy granted to Katahi. He'd killed someone who had done nothing wrong, not even illegal, and he just admitted it in front of the entire city.
"And he has just confessed to his crime," Tecumseh said in a booming voice.
The king's statement was met with cheers from the crowd, and they suddenly turned toward the penguin with a new thirst for blood. And I knew exactly what they needed.
"Your Majesty, if I may," I said.
And Isi nodded as I yanked the penguin to his feet and wrenched his arm behind him.
"I think that means we can solve this problem now."
"Wait, what?"
The would-be assassin gulped and tried to loosen my grip.
"The people of Narsglo have been waiting for a public execution," I boomed, as I pulled the sword of Hatra from my belt with a dramatic swing. "Wouldn't you agree?"
"Yes! Yes!"
the crowd chanted and pumped their fists. I felt like the star of an old gladiator movie as I paraded the criminal around the snow and waved my blade in the air.
"And this murderer has already confessed," I continued.
"He confessed! He confessed!"
the audience screamed wildly.
"And we all witnessed his attempt on the life of your beloved queen," I added, with another flourishing gesture toward Isi.
"Death! Death!"
they wailed.
"And now he shall be put to death," I finished, as I kicked the backs of the penguin's knees to drop him onto the snow.
Wait!
The penguin begged.
I won't do it again!
Enough! The king roared and pointed at the demihuman. You have confessed to the vicious murder of our beloved shaman Ubira and openly attempted the treasonous murder of our queen. I sentence you to death. Lord Evan, do as you wish.
With pleasure, I growled. I let go of the murderer and stepped back while I swung the sword of Hatra around,
and then I sliced the sharp blade through his thick neck. The penguin's head stayed for less than a second before it rolled off his shoulders, and his body toppled forward as the snow turned crimson with his blood. The entire Volan roared with applause and cheering until I was nearly deafened by the echoes of their excitement. The city's thirst for blood and revenge had been satiated, and I hoped it would be enough to end this war against magical people. From the looks on the citizens' faces, I suspected the public execution had been enough to both satisfy their violent urges and deter anyone from trying the same approach to lawbreakers. A handful of guards made their way over to the body and carted the penguin off, while Isi looked at me with genuine appreciation on her face as the crowd slowly began to evacuate the Volan.
Thank you for saving my life,
she said in a soft voice.
I'm very grateful, and I have a new sense of appreciation for the magic you and your people can do. I suppose we've never considered the good possibilities of magic.
Does this mean you'll change more than just the punishment in your laws? I asked with a grin.
Don't push it, Lord Evan,
the queen chuckled.
I'm just glad your plan seemed to work. Everyone left happy, and the murderer has been brought to justice. Now, our kind Ubira can rest in peace, and Kiona will be safe.
That's the important part, I agreed, and winked. The rest might come later. Isi laughed and shook her head as she took Tecumseh's hand and walked over to where the rest of my people had made their way down from the stands. Nokomis and Tawa looked to be in a state of shock, and I wasn't sure if it was because of the execution or their mother's admission about magic.
I suppose our first city meeting went well,
Tawa laughed.
It certainly won't be forgotten,
Rebecca agreed. The tension that had plagued us for several days seemed to ease, but I knew we had to continue with our mission soon. So as we walked back to the palace, I slowed down to talk with Aliona away from the others. We need to get back to the mission soon, I murmured. The Demon King doesn't care about magic laws and dead shamans.
I know,
she agreed in a soft voice.
But we still don't have Tawa on our side yet. Who would you bond with?
Do you think I could ask Queen Isi? I wondered.
I thought about that. But if the spirits said she and her brother lost the swords because they couldn't work together, I have a feeling her bloodline ability may not be strong enough.
The princess said with a frown.
She may be more willing, but not necessarily the right match.
Damn it, I cursed. Tawa's kid is so young. How can I ask him to let me bond with her?
It's not easy for either of you,
she agreed with a half-smile.
But I think you'd be surprised with how much support you've gained since we arrived.
Like mine,
Nokomis said as she slowed down to match our pace.
I want to do the ceremony. I know I'm not the only one you need, but maybe if I do it, it will help Tawa understand.
Maybe he should go with us, I mused. If he sees how fast it is and what the bond is like, maybe it won't be as difficult.
That's a good idea,
Nokomis agreed as we came to the steps of the palace.
I could...
I'm still thinking,
Tawa grumbled and stopped just outside the door to turn around.
It isn't a simple decision. You're talking about a blood ceremony with my child. She won't know what that means or why it hurts. Even if you heal her quickly, my lord. It's too much to ask of a 10-year-old girl.
That's why I haven't pushed you, I agreed. My children are still in the womb and the egg, so I can't completely understand how you feel, but I'm trying. I don't like the idea of doing the ceremony with a child either. I just have to weigh my personal feelings against what the entire world needs. And I keep coming back to her.
Tawa, can I say something?
Nokomis asked in a gentle voice as she put her hand on her brother's shoulder.
Of course, sister, he replied with his head down.
I know it's a lot for a child, but you must remember, Denali is no ordinary child,
she said.
She is a future noble of the sword, and she has your ability to be strong. I think the decision should be hers.
I have to agree.
Aliona nodded and took Nokomis's other hand with a squeeze.
I don't know your daughter, Tawa, but if she's anything like I was at that age, she would want to know how she can help. She wouldn't want everyone else deciding she can't do something important.
And this is incredibly important, I said in a low voice. If I can't get all the nobles of the sword to bind their power with mine, we may not have what we need to defeat the Demon King before he rises up against all of us.
More of those hell beasts?
Tawa asked with a frown. At least, I confirmed. And it seems he has a few new creatures up his sleeve at every turn. We can't let him get to our realm, and that means doing things we don't want to, so we can stop him. Tawa took a deep breath and let it out slowly. Then he glanced over at his twin, and their eyes met for a tender moment before he patted her hand.
All right. It should be Denali's decision, he finally agreed. If she says she'll do it, then she may go, but I go with her.
I wouldn't have it any other way, I said with a nod.
I think we should talk to her.
Nokomis looked at Aliona.
It would be better to hear it from us, especially since Aliona has already done the ceremony, so she can answer Denali's questions.
Good idea, I murmured. We'll go, but you do the talking.
I'll take you to her room, Tawa said.
We walked inside the palace, and everyone else had stopped in the great room to wait for us. I quickly explained our plan, and Isi pursed her lips in disapproval but didn't argue. Nike, Mariah, Sky, Isabella, and Rebecca followed us to the wing where Tawa and his wife and children stayed, and as we got closer, I could hear the soft conversation of children. Then a few seconds later, we reached a door that was partway open. Tawa gently knocked on the door and pushed it all the way open, and we could see two young snow leopard demi-humans sitting on a bed. They each had the same long, raven-colored hair, though the boy's had been twisted into a braid that grazed the skin just below his shoulder blades, while the girl's hair flowed freely to her waist. Both wore royal blue robes and brown leather boots, and they gasped as we entered. The boy held a small furry creature in his lap as he stroked an injured leg, while the girl flicked a jeweled dagger back and forth and watched us carefully as we filed into the room.
Denali, Dakota, I have some people you need to meet, Tawa said as he gestured toward us. This is Lord Evan.
The dragon,
Denali interjected and cocked her head at me.
I heard you have magic.
I do, I confirmed with a chuckle. Check this out. I conjured a fiery version of her jewel-covered dagger into my hand and showed it to her. And Denali's eyes widened as she watched me mimic her movements with the fire blade.
Wow,
she breathed.
Can you teach me that?
Fire magic isn't for everyone, I replied and grinned. I'm sure there are a few things I could teach you someday, but for now, I think your aunt and my wife would like to talk to you about something else.
Aunt Coco, what's going on?
Dakota asked as he looked over at all of us with concern.
Nothing you need to worry about, Sakala.
Nokomis answered with a soft smile.
Stay with your little one.
His leg is finally healing,
her nephew said, as he brushed his fingers over the tiny creature's fur. I couldn't tell what kind of animal it was, but Dakota had obviously been nursing it back to health. Apparently, he was the one who would be getting the Sword of Mercy someday, which was why Nokomis had already known she'd have to talk to her niece.
Good job,
she replied and patted him on the head.
Now, be a good boy and go into the hall so I can talk to Denali.
Yes, Auntie.
Dakota carefully wrapped his furry animal in a small piece of cloth and carried it out the door. Tawa motioned for me to follow, and we walked out of the bedroom to leave Aliona and Nokomis with Denali. Then I pulled the door nearly shut so Tawa and I could lean in and listen to the conversation.
Do you know why Lord Evan and I came to Narsglow?
Aliona asked.
No,
Denali answered. And I could hear her still tossing the dagger around as it slapped against the skin of her palm.
We're looking for special people to help us fight a big bad person who's trying to hurt everyone he can,
the princess explained carefully.
He's the reason Katahi was trying to practice magic,
Nokomis added.
He thought he could stop the big bad person.
That sounds like a hard job,
Denali said in a soft voice.
He was going to do that all by himself?
He thought so,
Aliona answered.
He didn't know how hard it would be. But Lord Evan and I have been working on a way to stop the big bad person for a while. And now, Nokomis decided she will help.
Wow.
The little demi-human sighed.
That's wonderful, Auntie. How are you going to help?
I'm going to help Lord Evan with the ceremony to let him use my power sometimes,
she replied.
Once he's done with the ceremony with all the special people, he'll be strong enough to fight the bad guy,
Aliona added.
Isn't that incredible?
I've heard Lord Evan is already very strong,
Denali said in a matter-of-fact voice.
Does he need all that power to win the fight?
I smirked at Tawa, and he rolled his eyes.
Yes, the gods told him he did,
Aliona explained.
They talk to him?
Denali gasped.
Yes, they bless each of the ceremonies,
my wife said, and I could hear the smile in her voice.
Nokomis will be there to see it for herself soon. I'm sure my father, the King of Rama, is preparing for the ceremony as we speak.
Aliona's voice got louder on the last sentence, and I knew it was directed at me. We hadn't even told the king we had one of the nobles of the sword ready for the ceremony yet, and one of us had to let him know so he could get all the supplies to the ceremonial valley. Shit, I mumbled under my breath as I summoned my messenger dragon to my palm. Go tell King Rodion we have at least one of the next nobles ready, and we'll portal straight to the valley this afternoon. The dragon dipped its head and zoomed into the air, and I realized Tawa's eyes were nearly the size of saucers as he watched the dragon disappear.
Your magic can do that, too?
He asked in a shocked whisper. Yeah, that one's pretty neat, I chuckled. I'll teach you someday. Tawa rolled his eyes again, but a small smile crept onto his face as we turned back to the conversation with his daughter.
How many more special people do you need?
Denali wondered.
There are 12 nobles of the sword,
Aliona answered.
Your aunt and your father are 2 of them.
But my dad isn't going to do the ceremony?
I could hear the slightest bit of confusion in the young demi-human's voice.
He can't,
Nokomis said.
It has to be a girl.
Why?
Denali asked.
Well, even if they don't like to admit it, I think the boys know we're really strong and good at helping each other.
Her aunt replied a little more loudly than necessary.
So, we make a good team when we do the bonding ceremony with a boy like Lord Evan.
Well, can I help then?
Denali wondered, and her father sucked in a sharp breath. I patted him on the shoulder while we waited.
You can,
Nokomis said.
It isn't an easy ceremony, though. It might hurt a little bit, but Lord Evan has healing magic he'll use to make sure it doesn't hurt for very long.
Well, I can be hurt for a minute if it saves everyone from the big bad man,
Denali declared.
It's more important to keep everyone safe.
I can agree with that,
Nokomis chuckled.
Can we tell your dad what you've decided?
He won't like it,
the little demi-human muttered. Tawa eased the door open and scooped Denali into his arms.
No, I don't like it, he agreed. But you're incredibly brave to do it. I didn't know if you were ready.
Of course I am, Papa,
she laughed.
I'm strong like you.
Well, I want you to be sure, her father said and looked at me. Tell her what happens in the ceremony, please.
All right, I agreed. I laid out every detail of the Redeemi Vincio ceremony, from the ingredients I could remember, to the cut on each other's hands, to the blessing from the gods. When I was finished, Denali's dark eyes were focused on me with intense concentration, and she nodded her head.
Okay, I can do it,
she said in a firm voice before she glanced over at her dad.
But you can come with us, right? Even though you can't be on the team with Lord Evan?
Absolutely, Tawa agreed and smiled. I'll be with you every step.
Then what are we waiting on?
Denali asked.
It's time to save everyone.
I grinned at Aliona and Nokomis, and they began to help Denali get ready to go. Then I looked back at Nike and the rest of my lovers, and I realized Dakota still cradled his small pet against his chest as tears welled in his eyes. Hey, she'll be okay, I said in a quiet voice, as I knelt in front of him. I'll bring her back safe and sound, don't worry.
She's always okay, he murmured. I'm still worried.
I understand, I chuckled. You love her, and I promise I'll take good care of her. Just try to relax until we get back.
Do we need to go talk to Amala?
Nokomis asked her brother.
No, she said the same thing as you, he replied and shook his head. She said her daughter would choose what was right. She already knows we're going. Nokomis laughed as they tucked some clothes and water into Aliona's spatial storage for Denali. And the young snow leopard slid daggers into holsters on each of her thighs and a larger blade into a carrier on her back. None of her family seemed surprised by her weaponry, so I shrugged it off and let Tawa and Nokomis lead us back out of the room, while Dakota sat on the bed and let a solitary tear drip off his face. I chewed on my bottom lip for a moment and then conjured another of my messenger dragons. "Stay with Dakota until we return," I ordered the little creature. "Keep him company and make sure he doesn't go after us." Dakota gasped in surprise when the kaleidoscope-colored dragon sailed across the room and curled up against his leg. But he looked up at me with a smile as he began to pet both of his small animals. Then I followed the others downstairs to the great hall, where the king and queen quickly greeted us with parcels of what smelled like roast beef and bread. My mouth watered at the smell, and I nodded my thanks as I unwrapped mine and stuffed a bite of the sandwich into my mouth. Within minutes, everyone had finished the small lunch, and we headed out into the courtyard. "You might get a couple magic complaints again," I said with a smirk as Aliona began her portal spell. Without the magic barrier to stop us, it would be faster and easier for Aliona to portal us to the valley and back. We had to get the ceremony done, so we could move on to the next part of our mission. And I figured by now the king and his helper would be ready for us to get started. Before either the king or queen could ask what I meant, the sparks and crackles of Aliona's portal snapped in the air in front of us, and all the snow leopard demi-humans took a step back in surprise.
"It won't hurt,"
Aliona promised.
"It just takes us straight to the ceremony location in Rama, so we don't have to take the time to fly there."
"Even the flying is the best,"
Ravi pointed out and pursed her lips.
"If you say so,"
Nokomis said and took a deep breath.
"Let's do it."
"We'll be back soon,"
I called out to the awestruck royals. Then Aliona and I led the group through the magical doorway and stepped into the grassy valley I'd cleansed for our Redeem Evincio ceremonies. The air was considerably warmer, and I immediately shrugged off my fur coat and let the sun shine on my face.
"There's no snow here?"
Denali asked in confusion. "Nope," I laughed. "It's green grass here in the valley. Oh, and this river over here is not frozen over."
"Wow."
She looked around in bewilderment.
"Can I look around?"
"Don't go too far," her father warned. Denali nodded before she scampered off to explore the grass, the flowers, and the clear water of the river. Within seconds, Rodion and Castor walked through their own portal, and the king's right-hand man got to work setting up for the ceremony.
"Who have you found?"
Rodion asked with a curious glance at the twins. "This is Princess Nokomis, Noble of the Sword of Mercy," I introduced her. "And this is her twin brother, Prince Tawa, Noble of the Sword of Strength."
"It's nice to meet you,
Nokomis trailed off as she looked at the king.
"King Rodion," he supplied with a smile. "And nice to meet you too, Princess."
"Oh!"
Nokomis gasped and dropped to a full curtsy.
"Your Majesty."
Tawa followed suit with his own bow as he gave me a sideways glance of annoyance. "Sorry," I chuckled. "I'm still learning all the diplomatic stuff."
"He's a work in progress,"
Rodion laughed and motioned for the twins to stand up.
"Now, I assume you'll be bonding with Princess Nokomis, but I thought you couldn't bond with the prince."
"I can't." I shook my head and pointed at Denali. "His daughter is here, too."
"A child?"
The king gasped as the smile fell off his face.
"I don't think so, my son. No, I can't imagine such a thing."
"Father, I know it's difficult,"
Aliona stepped in.
"Lord Evan didn't like it at first either, but I spoke with the child myself. She's much wiser than you'd think."
"She can't possibly understand what she's undertaking," Rodion insisted. "It isn't a decision to be taken lightly."
"And it wasn't," I said with a grim smile. "It took days for us to even bring it up to her. Talk to her yourself, you'll see."
"Denali!"
Tawa called out and waved her over.
"Come meet the King of Rama, King Rodion."
"It's a pleasure to meet you, Your Majesty,"
Denali said with a low curtsy.
"And you, young lady," he murmured. "Do you know why you're here?"
"Yes, Your Majesty,"
she confirmed.
"To save the world."
"Well, that's true,"
he chuckled, and a little bit of the tension eased.
How are you going to do that?
I have to be strong, like my dad.
Denali answered in a sure voice.
I'll bind my power with Lord Evans, so he can use my strength when he fights the big bad guy.
Impressive, Rodion said. And why do you want to do this?
Because it's important,
she replied easily.
Only a few people are special enough to bond with Lord Evan, and I'm one of them. So I have to do what I can to help everyone else.
Rodion mulled this over for several seconds, and I wasn't sure what he would say. I knew as a father he likely had several reasons why a little girl shouldn't be allowed to do a blood ceremony. But as the king, he probably also understood why we had to. Plus, it helped that Denali had a good grasp of what she needed to do for the people. And she was much smarter than most kids her age.
All right, the king finally agreed. I think you'll be a wonderful addition to the bond. Your strength is in both your power and your character, young Denali.
Thank you, Your Majesty,
she replied with another curtsy.
So how does this work? Tawa asked as he bounced back and forth on his feet. Is it going to be fast?
Yeah, it's fast, I assured him and looked at Aliona. Could we do theirs at the same time, or have Nokomis go first so Denali can watch?
I think Nokomis will have to go first, but we can check the—
Aliona was cut off by the sound of Skye drawing her weapon.
What is it?
Rodion asked, as his brow furrowed with concern.
I can feel it,
Skye murmured. I looked around with concern, but the only thing I could feel was a strong desire to finish the ceremony. So I put a hand on Skye's arm and tried to get her attention. What's wrong? I asked. What do you feel?
He's getting stronger,
she nearly whispered, and her chocolate turquoise eyes darted around the valley.
We need to get this going, Nike said as he wrung his hands in front of him.
Yeah, this is taking too long,
Rebecca agreed. Okay, calm down, I said to the whole group and searched for Castor. Is everything ready?
Almost, my lord, he answered.
Can't you feel it, Lord Evan?
Skye asked as she gripped my arm. Then I did. The energy around the valley made my skin prickle as though lightning bolts zipped through the air. My heart pounded in my chest, and everything around us seemed to move faster, as though someone had sped up a movie. What is that? I asked. What's changed?
I'm not sure,
the Naiad Nepin answered with a frown.
Something is different, though.
Suddenly, a bolt of lightning crashed across the sky and zigzagged to the valley like a meteor. It snapped against the ground, and we all shielded our eyes as a blinding light illuminated the area for a second, then disappeared. The god of punishment stood where the lightning had landed, and he held a huge golden sword in one hand and a thick shield in the other.
Get ready!
Aeron yelled as he pointed the sword at us.
There's about to be a fight!